Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our third Sunday in Advent as we dwell on the subject of joy. Let's pray. Almighty God, your words are words of life, words of hope and words of peace. May we hear them and receive them with great joy through the working of your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, and I'm reading from the NIV. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just to there. And may God bless his word to us this day and always. Today we talk about the good news that will bring great joy. And why would the news of God's anointed one not be joyful news? Good question, since the record shows that not everyone was excited at the prospect of someone being announced as the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Nevertheless, it was good news for the Jews and for the whole world, for all those who would believe. This was not good news because it was nice for Jesus to pay us a visit. It was good news because it was the necessary fulfillment of God's promised reconciliation with his people Israel and the rest of humanity. After the shepherds had found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just as they had been told, they returned glorifying and praising God for what they had witnessed. This was a witness which was communicated with great joy. Yet the puzzling thing is that their joy would only be fulfilled at a much later date. This was a reality they couldn't sidestep. For if this was the promised Messiah, the deliverance he would bring for God's people would surely be some way off, years from then. Yet this did not matter. Why? Because their joy was born of faith. And faith is born of an implicit trust in God on our part, so that we are sure of the things we hope for and certain of the things we cannot see. So, the experience of joy is in the here and now, but always sustained by the promises of God. This is the story of the believers in both the Old and New Testaments. Joy is consistently the mark both individually of the believer and corporately of the church. It is a quality and not simply an emotion, based firmly on God himself, but more than that, joy is derived from God. What we know then about true joy from a biblical perspective is this: it characterizes the Christian's life on earth and also anticipates at the end of the age the joy of being with Christ forever in the kingdom of heaven. So to detail this a bit more, firstly, our joy is rooted in the babe of Bethlehem. It was also the case for Mary and Joseph, simply as parents, who experienced all the angst that childbirth in their times brought with it, an angst that would give way to joy at the safe arrival of the baby Jesus. Yet they were also parents who, no doubt, were trying to work through what this child's life would be like, especially in view of what the angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 32-33, that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, there was also a man called Simeon, whose joy was rooted in the babe of Bethlehem as well. Simeon was a deeply devout Jew who had received a revelation from God that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah with his own eyes. Not only that, but Simeon is described as one upon whom the Holy Spirit rested. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 25-32, we are told that when Jesus was brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord, Simeon was guided by the Spirit to come into the temple as well. On seeing Jesus, he held him in his arms and, without being informed by the parents, proceeded to praise God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." At this point, the joy of the parents, particularly Mary, was tempered by further words from Simeon, that there would be pain in it all. For in Luke chapter 2, verse 33-35, we're told that Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Somber words indeed. However, immediately after that, Simeon's words were confirmed by the arrival of Anna, a prophetess, who prophesied that God would bring deliverance through Jesus to the Jewish people. All of this finally points to a future where, secondly, our joy is rooted in the saving work of Jesus on the cross. Peter, in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 8-9, describes the Christian's salvation like this. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 8, "Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This joy, which is rooted in the saving work of Jesus on the cross, overflows into our everyday lives, so that thirdly, it is a joy rooted in the promises of God for our lives in this world. We are not called upon to live on self-manufactured joy, or joy that some motivational speaker may tell us we can have. Instead, true joy is the portion of God's people while we are here. This joy is described in Galatians 5 by Paul as a gift or fruit, the outcome of the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. This confirms that it is a quality and not simply an emotion. It is part of the Christian's character and how we ought to live in this world. Joy is not to be found only in the best moments, though, but in every moment. For example, James in chapter 1, verse 2-4 encourages us to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sadly, large parts of the church have all but eliminated the notion that suffering and struggle are used by God to make us more like Jesus as we fix our eyes on him in faith. Instead, if there is suffering and struggle, the thing to do is to get it out of one's life or run away from it, because it is something that is from the devil and serves no good purpose. This, of course, is not a balanced way to understand the Christian experience. On the other hand, to know joy in every moment is not easy, but it is a process of learning in faith, so that increasingly real joy as a fruit of the Spirit may be found in all circumstances. As we draw to a close, it becomes a lot easier when we realize that joy, which begins with the baby Jesus in Bethlehem, is rooted in the ultimate promise made by God through Jesus of eternal life, at the resurrection of all those who belong to him. This is the single most important thing regarding the advent of Jesus, that he came to die in our stead and rise bodily from the dead so that we might live in the same resurrection life with God eternally. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul expressed the importance of the resurrection for salvation as well as life beyond this mortal existence for God's people. Here is verse 13 to 14, verse 17, and verses 19 to 20. Paul says, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Or, as the King James Version aptly puts it, we are of all men most miserable. But the truth is that Christ has been raised from the dead," said Paul. "This then is our hope and source of great joy in the face of all of life's circumstances, even if it takes a while to arrive at that conclusion. But arrive there we will, and the outcome will be pure joy," as James put it. Finally, let us hear Jesus speak to us today through Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, where he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen." Let us pray. As we draw near to you, Lord God, keep us aware of your presence in all we do. Come with power to enlighten us by your grace, that we may live in praise and joy all our days. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.